Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for tonight's episode of Breaking the Silence. And we're coming to you on behalf of Hope Alliance, Inc. Hope Alliance, Inc., of course, acronym for Healing Opportunities Proposed for Everyone. And so we're coming on tonight with a very interesting topic, something that's been trending on Facebook and Twitter and such, and something that needs to be addressed within the household of faith and just in general, especially amongst those who are of African-American descent. And so we want to start tonight's episode with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go into our topic, our subject for discussion. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We come, God, because your word says, in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to make our requests known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We come on tonight, O Lord God, asking for your peace to reign, O God, in the name of Jesus. We come, God, asking for wisdom from on high, because your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, O God. So we need wisdom on tonight, O Lord God, for how to rightly divide your word of truth, O Lord God. Your truth, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, O Lord God. So we pray now, God, that you would break every stereotype, break, O Lord God, every generational error that we may have received concerning this subject matter, O Lord God. Impart your wisdom, impart your truth, O Lord God, that we may be better parents, O Lord God, and that we may do that which is pleasing unto you. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Our subject matter on tonight is child abuse or discipline. And this came from the topic on this week where a young woman in Baton Rouge was arrested for whipping her children, her three sons. She had three sons. A neighbor's house had gotten broken into. She found out that her sons were the culprit, and she went to begin to punish them for the error of their ways. And it was a lot of feedback on Facebook as to, you know, whether or not she was right or whether or not she was wrong. There were those who were commending her for disciplining, or for lack of a better word, discipline, but I believe that it was punishment as she punished her sons for what they were doing. Now, again, being raised up in an African-American home, punishment was something that you received, and you received it to the extent of, had my mother been in today's society, she would probably have been jailed. Now, granted, it didn't have a negative effect on me or my siblings in that none of us grew up to do things that were a retaliation from being discipline or being punished, but that's not the case in every situation. And so I just wanted to kind of go over some of the articles that I pulled up with regards to this. The young lady's name, she's a picture with her children, and of course she whipped them because they broke into a neighbor's home, and they proceeded to steal some things from this neighbor. And I'm sure she was, you know, very hurt by their actions and probably felt like, you know, that was a negative reflection on her as a mom. And, of course, it being a neighbor, she proceeded to whoop them. Now, the alarming fact about this issue was that she whipped them with an extension cord. Now, growing up as a child, I heard many of my friends tell me that their parents would punish them with an extension cord. My mom never punished us with an extension cord. However, she would punish us with whatever was near her hand. But we never were whipped with an extension cord. And an extension cord leaves some horrific bruising and usually cuts and breaks the skin, depending on how hard or how much anger is behind that extension cord. So this Baton Rouge mama caught her sons breaking into the residence, and she was arrested after she whipped them because they found that the sons were bleeding. She had whipped them to a point where they had lacerations, and these lacerations were bleeding. And so, of course, they jailed her. They took the children away. Now, I'm not sure, and I'm reading through the articles trying to find out if the children were taken away and put into the care of child welfare. It doesn't say that, but it does say that she was arrested and that the children were taken away, especially those particular three children. Lisa Nicholson, the 45-year-old neighbor who said it was her house that was burglarized by the Spears children and thought that the single mother of six should be commended and not arrested. Though she wasn't home at the time of the break-in, Nicholson said that as the homeowner, she could have killed the boys out of panic when they busted her back window. So apparently they broke a window, they got in the house, and proceeded to take some things. And, again, African-American descent, we know that a beat down was coming. You know, if you did something that wasn't right, your parents would proceed to punish you with whatever, a belt, a switch. My mom would get switches off the tree and plait them together and punish us for what we did wrong. Now, is that the best methodology? Now, here's my stance on this, and I want some feedback. Those of you who may listen to this episode after we've gone off the air, I would love it if you would email me or Facebook me, go to our Hope Alliance page and remark about this particular subject matter, because I would be interested in knowing. Now, if the statistics do say that those who are brought up in an abusive home often become abusers, what differentiates whether or not this abuse has to be just between the intimate partner or if it's a child who's receiving abuse? Because I believe that the way that we were punished being raised up came from the mentality of the slave master beating the slave to get the slave to do what they wanted to do. And some of you may or may not remember the scene in The Color Purple when she said that the woman wouldn't do, Sophia wouldn't mind her husband, and she turns around to Harpo and she says, beat her. You know, because that's what they'd seen. They'd seen that in order for you to get somebody to do what you wanted them to do, it had been shown to them. It was a learned behavior that you beat them. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that this is a learned behavior that we received as an ethnicity or as a race of people, and it's been passed down and passed down and passed down. And while in some cases it may have the appearance of working or doing good, in other cases, it brings a negative effect. And so you've got this person who you've beat, you know, and whooped and had to take them to the hospital or whatever the case may be. And so we stood on that as a race of people. We stood on it because the Bible clearly says, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, that if you want your child to be obedient, several scriptures, can I just go with that? Several scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs, tells us about how to discipline our children. Now, the thing that I want to give understanding and clarity to is that disciplining your child and punishing your child are two different things. The Bible clearly says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He chasteneth. What does he do? He disciplines. He does not punish. And so we have to get out of that mentality that it's our responsibility to punish the child as opposed to disciplining the child. And so It says further in the article that these young men had lacerations on their arms, across their legs, their shoulder, their back, their stomach, causing bleeding. So, you know, you beat this child, and there were, you hitting them everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And the juvenile justice official said that they could not reveal why the son was at the juvenile facility. The other two boys also had some injuries. The 12-year-old was showing cuts on his arm. The youngest child received small scratches on his hand, according to the document. Spears was accused of 2 counts of cruelty to juveniles. Surely you would expect a parent to discipline a child who is burglarizing other people's home, as this could be a deadly encounter for the child, said East Baton Rouge Parish District Attorney Hiller C. Moore III, whose office would handle Spears' criminal charges if they are prosecuted. And again, I say, yes, we do expect the parent to discipline, but what she did to the boys was not discipline, it was punishment. And there is a fine line. And even in my conversations on Facebook, which, of course, everybody was chiming in, you know, because you'd rather discipline them than to have them to be in jail, or you'd rather discipline them as opposed to making funeral arrangements for them. I agree with all of that. But again, I go back and I stand on the premise that there is a difference between disciplining a child and punishing a child, and it's not our responsibility to punish. Remember, the Word of God also says, "Provoke not your children to anger." That there's some things that we need to begin to do and love on our children. And that's another thing I wanted to make mention of, is that when you talk about disciplining a child, it's done in love. But when you're talking about punishing a child, it's done in anger. And that's the difference. And what did Abba Father say to us? He said, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." And so God does not want us to do anything that stemmed out of anger, that stemmed out of bitterness, that stemmed out of wrath. Okay? And so that's the difference. And I think that as African Americans, especially, we have to begin to change our mindset. Just because our parents did that does not mean that it was the best methodology that was available. Again, it was a learned behavior. It was a learned behavior, and therefore we did it because that's what we knew to do. However, in our growing up, there are some things that my mom did her way that I don't do for my children, or that I did not do for my children. There are some things that my mom did for her grandchildren that I don't do with my grandchildren. Why? Because I came to know better. I came that there was a more excellent way for me to minister. For instance, my mom was not a person who did a lot of hugging. We didn't do a lot of embracing each other. There was not a whole lot of saying the "I love you" in the house. Why? I don't know. But I made a point of, when I had children, to be expressive with them, to say that, to be able to verbalize to them that I love you, I care for them. Now, that's something that we need to begin to do. We have to tell our children and speak to them and let them know I love you. But my point being that there are some things that my mom did in rearing children, or in rearing us, and there were 9 of us. There was 9. My mom had 9 children. And her sister passed away. She had 4 children that my mom took in. And so it was a house full of children, as you can see. And we were disciplined. We were punished. When we did wrong, we were punished. You knew you were going to get it. And again, I want to say that your children shouldn't have a fear of you, but they should reverence you. Just like we do God. Everything that we do, as far as those of us who believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, those of us who profess to be Christians, everything we do should mimic or exemplify Abba Father. It should mimic the love that God and His Son Jesus had in the earth. And so Jesus had a reverence for God. He revered God, but not to a point of the fear that we think. And so, you know, I know that the Bible says also that the beginning of knowledge is the beginning of the knowledge of God. And I'm sorry, I need to quote that better. Fear. But that fear that was being spoken of is not fear as in trembling, is not fear as in scared. It has to do with reverence. It has to do with revering and reverence. It has to do with homage, you know, respect. That's what that has to do with. So here we have Ms. Spears. Her case is being reviewed, and she was released from jail. And I even saw an article on today where she was saying that she wanted her children back in the home, and there was a lot of crying. Now, I did share also on Facebook that I think that our judicial system has to find a better way of handling different situations. Usually we wait till things happen and then we punish. We punish as well. We don't discipline. We punish as well. And I don't think that this particular situation warranted her being arrested. However, I do feel that this situation warranted her receiving some counseling, her receiving some counseling as to how to better rear her children, things of that nature, because, again, we have a learned behavior. And so it's a matter of going back and unlearning a behavior that's not the most or the most effective way to rear children. Now, the other thing that I found out in my reading of this article was that this young lady's children's father is incarcerated. So, I mean, that whipping that they got, that punishment that they got, had a whole lot behind it. The fear of her children growing up to be incarcerated. Again, you know, the fear of them getting hurt because that's what they're doing. And I don't want you to grow up like that. Now, excuse me, it didn't give a lot of details as to the relationship that she had with the father, but it did note that their father, the children's father, is incarcerated. And so I'm sure, you know, that when she was whipping him, her intentions, she had the best of intentions, but the way that she chose to do it was, again, not the most acceptable way. It wasn't the best way for her to minister to her children. And so we have to begin to learn how to deal with our children. We have to begin to learn how to talk to our children. I remember specifically growing up, and I think I had turned 14 years old. I was 14 years old, and my mom had reared us again with punishment. I mean, harsh punishment. And I remember when I turned 14, I was telling my mom, you know, that you don't have to always hit me. Now, my sisters and brothers stood back, and I think that they were all in a sense of prayer and meditation on my behalf. I think they were standing in intercession because they did not know what my mom was going to do in that conversation. But I did. I spoke to my mom, and I was telling her, you know, that we can just talk about some things, that I didn't feel like, you know, her beating me down was the best remedy, and that I loved her. And from that point on, you know, she and I began to talk, and she began to respect me from that level. So getting to a point of, and that's something, again, that helped me in rearing my children, was to listen to them, you know, to talk to them, to listen to them, to find out what happened. My mom was a person whom, you know, if the neighbor said we did something, we did it. Wasn't no ifs, and buts about it. You didn't have a chance to explain the situation. If an adult said you did it, you were guilty. And punishment was coming. And so, you know, I from that particular, her way of a method of rearing us, still me to be able to sit down and talk to my kids and say, okay, let's talk about it. Tell me what happened. And you know, reared them to be able to not only tell me what happened, but tell me the truth. And I wanted them to tell me the truth, imputing into them how to be honest about some things, remembering that the Bible says that God hates a liar, you know, and things of that nature. And so it's disciplining them and bringing them up into the fear and admonition of the Lord. I put up an article from crosswalk.com, and it says, when does discipline become abuse? When does discipline become abuse? Again, being raised, I had friends who would come to school. Mom would have whipped them, and I got whipped with an extension cord. I didn't do my homework. I got whipped with an extension cord. And I think the things that they were being punished for, what they did to me didn't warrant it going to that extent. But again, going back to the premise that punishment comes out of anger. It doesn't come out of love. It doesn't stem from love. And so what I did find out even from this article was that it said that April is actually Child Abuse Awareness Month. Child Abuse Awareness Month. Didn't know that. And so we need to make a notation of that, especially at Hope Alliance, that April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. And it says that, talked about discipline being one of the defining elements to parenthood. You know, when you raise a child, you talk about how you're going to discipline them. My mom was the disciplinarian. My father was passive, and he was the one who would talk to me. And most of the time, I can remember my father, the first time my father physically disciplined me, I don't know who cried the hardest, him or me. And my mom was just like standing there shaking her head, like, really? And even after, and he gently told me as he was disciplining me, he told me why he was disciplining me, he told me how disappointed he was in me. And what I had done was I had pushed a friend down, or one of the neighbors, little kids I was playing with in the neighborhood, pushed her down and then she fell and bust her lip. And my father was telling me, you don't do that to people. You know? I mean, and he hugged me, and we cried with each other and everything. And from that, just seeing the hurt on him made me not want to do that again, because it hurt my father. It hurt me too, but it hurt me to know that I had disappointed my father to that degree. And so it says, through discipline, children are taught to become responsible, honest, kind, and sharing people. And that's what we want to instill in them. We do want to instill those attributes in our children. However, is punishing them going to bring about those attributes? Or is it going to make them more angry? Is it going to make them more bitter? You know, is it going to make them want to run away from home? Is it going to stir up a hatred in you because of how you are punishing and not disciplining them? And it says in this Crosswalk article, if you, however, punish your child instead of disciplining them, the end result will not be the same. Punishment is an act of anger and impulse. It happens when a parent takes things personally. The punishment is, in fact, retaliation for the child's poor choice. In contrast, discipline is centered around helping the child with the goal of correcting their choices and actions. A parent who disciplines is trying to teach their child right from wrong, helping them to learn life skills. Ultimately, punish hurts a child, whereas discipline helps a child. So what are you doing? Are you punishing and hurting, or are you disciplining and helping? And that's the thing that I think needs to be weighed when you do that. You know, my mom used to say, you get me out there and you don't embarrass me in front of people, and she's wearing tear into us. You know what I'm saying? So, again, she took it personal. She took it personal as opposed to saying, okay, you know, let's talk about this. You know, what you're doing is not a good reflection, first of all, on you. It's not a good reflection on God. You know what I'm saying? And that there are better choices that you could have made, you know, with that. I can remember, you know, My mom would get angry if we spilled the milk. You got a little pop upside the back of your head. Stop being clumsy, you know. Whereas when my children spilled the milk, I tried to teach them, okay, that's an accident. You need to wipe it up. You don't need to get hit because it was an accident. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the thing that we have to begin to look at. Are we disciplining or are we punishing? And so often the urge to punish comes from within when you feel hurt by your child's behavior. You're looking to strike back and to inflict the same pain, often reacting in the situation, overreacting rather in the situation. For example, in the heat of a moment, a mom and dad might lash out, even raising their hand to a child instead of taking a deep breath and assessing the situation objectively, a learned behavior. How did your parent discipline? What was taught in you? What was instilled in you? What was poured into you? And even if it was that of a negative connotation, what did you do with it? Did you carry that lifestyle on, that pattern on, or did you change that pattern and begin to do it in a more excellent way? Now, granted, again, my mom, one of her sayings was, you know, I didn't raise any doctors and lawyers, but I didn't raise no thieves and murderers either. So her discipline attained what she wanted it to attain, in that we were all, you know, we all raised up and did what we were supposed to do. However, there is a more excellent way. And so the challenge that parents face today is to detach themselves from the situation and to control their anger. Again, we have to learn how to be an example to our children as to how we handle situations and circumstances. And one of the things that we reflect and that we show, even in how we discipline, is misdirected anger that turns into bitterness. Come on, somebody. And so we've got to begin to do what we need to do. Another thing that was prevalent in growing up in an African-American home is verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is prevalent, you know, calling the child out of their names, the profanity and talking to the child and things of that nature. You know, sometimes I hear conversations coming out of mom's mouth to children who are too young to even understand what they're saying, and it's cutting at my own skin. We have to begin to learn how to talk to our children, to not badger them. We have to learn how to talk to them without being verbally abusive. A learned behavior. And so we want to learn how to teach them how to be reasonable. We want to learn how to teach them how to have life skills. We want to learn how to teach them how to communicate without using profanity all the time. Because most of the time what happens is that if that's all they're hearing in the home, then when they're outside of your presence, you may think that they're not. But trust me, they're using and they're talking in the same manner that you are. And so it is important that to know that punishment can lead to abuse. Punishment can lead to abuse. Why? Because you get out of hand. You get out of control. You're thinking about how that hurt you, and you're thinking about how you're going to make them pay for hurting you, and it can go way, way, way too far. Amen. And so we want to begin to look at that. I am so encouraged, and I hope that this talk is a blessing to you, because you want to change some things. We want to change. We want to be loving parents. And my prayer tonight is that, you know, if Holy Spirit is convicting you, that perhaps you're borderline abusive to your child, we want to turn that thing around. We want to ask God to help us to be a loving parent, even as He, Abba Father, is our loving parent. Amen. We want to, with loving kindness, draw our children that they're not afraid of us. They're not afraid to talk to us. You know, they may have some situations and circumstances that are going on in their life that they really need to talk to you about, but because of the fear of how you're going to react, they're keeping it to themselves. I've often heard people say, you know, when something happened to a child, you know, I don't know why they didn't come and talk to me. Yeah, let's look at that. Let's examine that for a minute. Why didn't they want to talk to you? You know, why weren't you the first person that they wanted to talk to about a situation? And so you have to begin and look at how do you react? Do you fly off the handle? You know, you start cussing. You know, you start throwing stuff. What? How are you reacting? So you want to make sure that you have an ear to hear what your child is saying. Amen. You want to make sure that you're setting the groundwork for them to be able to come and communicate with you what's going on. I've thought about that even with children who are in today's society committing suicide because they're being bullied. You know, why is it that they're not able to go to their parent and talk to their parent about this? I'm not putting the responsibility on the parent. I'm just saying that we should always have a doorway for our children to be able to come to us and talk to us. They should never be fearful of coming to us and talking to us because they're fearful of how we're going to react or what's the retaliation going to be from you to them and things of that nature. So we want to make sure that we are open to hear what our children have to say. So as loving parents, we need to, again, we want to be like Abba Father is. We want to make sure that we're open to what the Lord will have us to do concerning our children. So now we have to learn, even according to this particular article, to replace punishment with discipline. In order to function in our society, adults must have a certain amount of self-control, impulse control, and anger management. When I think about the word anger management, and I often minister to our young men's ministry, sons ministry, that anger is not managed, because anger is an emotion, and it's an emotion given by God. The Bible tells us plainly, be angry and sin not. So it's what you do with that anger. And oftentimes our anger is misdirected, and we don't know how to handle it. And so it turns into bitterness, it turns into wrath, and it turns into something ugly. And so learning how to address your anger and learning how to have the control to not let it escalate into anything that would bring dishonor to God. So the article is saying that I'm suggesting that these skills be developed in our homes. And again, I have to go back. I'm going back to say this. What if all of this killings, what if all of this, these killings and all of this violence that we have in our community, what if it is a stem or if it's an extension of all of the anger and stuff that these young people have witnessed in the home? We have to accept some responsibility for that. So, these skills have to be developed in the home. Again, it's a matter of respecting our kids as people. Consider the dozens of interactions that you have with others on a daily basis. Surely, at one point or another, someone has said something that you disagree with, or they've done something that annoyed you. Did you react by lashing out or hitting the other person? Is that another situation where we as adults would act so reckless, even if we were upset? Again, you don't do it to other adults. They do something. Somebody wastes some milk, and an adult wastes some milk at your house. It's, oh, it was an accident. But your kids do it, and you tend to react in a whole different way. So in the place of punishment, let's look at some effective discipline techniques. When establishing discipline in your household, communicating your expectations, your guidelines with your children, again, children are to be seen and not heard. You know, we weren't allowed to say anything. My mom could say something, and that's why my sisters and brothers were standing in intercession with me when I talked to my mom, because, you know, you could try to verbalize what you were thinking about something, and my mom would immediately snap at you and go, you know, you talking back to me? Oh, you grown now? You know, and all you was trying to do is communicate what you were feeling or what your thoughts were. And can I just say this, too? And that's how we're rearing our children. It's no wonder that they have communication problems. It's no wonder that our sons don't know how to communicate their emotions because when they try to communicate and talk to you, you snapping at them. You know, shut up. You know, don't talk back to me. Well, how are they going to learn effective communication skills? I'm just saying. Okay, and so we want to, you know, teach them these things. We want to teach them how to communicate. We want to tell them our expectations, our guidelines, and things of that nature. So we want to help kids to understand that rules and expectations are important, and then we want to explain what happens when these expectations are not met. And let me just say, these expectations not being met is not always to be followed up with punishment. Amen. You know, it should be followed with some type of discipline. It should be followed with some type of correction. But that correction doesn't necessarily have to be physical. Okay? Okay, and so that was the article on Crosswalk. And you can pull that up, you know, if you want to just kind of look at it a little bit, again, to help you to dislearn some things that were volatile or dislearn some things that wasn't helpful in your family. I want you to look up the article. Again, it's called When Does Discipline Become Abuse? And it's through Crosswalk, www.crosswalk.com. And then you can just pull up that particular article. And I thought that that was very, very helpful. When we start talking about scripture, again, we look at some of the scriptures. We look at the word of God, and we want to understand that that's not God's way. Again, we have a misconception of God's word when he talks about, you know, to spare the rod is to spoil the child. And the rod he was talking about was like the rod of a shepherd. The rod of a shepherd. The shepherd doesn't take the rod and beat the sheep because they're not doing, but they gently guide. Come on, somebody. They gently guide. It was there for guidance. Amen. So to spare the rod, they weren't talking about beat the child down. They were talking about to be able to guide them, to show them a more excellent way, to show them the direction, to put them on the right path. Amen. And so, that rod was not for us to feel like we should just be beating our kids down. I'm trying to think of other scriptures that we use. The Bible, of course, says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we have a responsibility as a parent to train up our children, to discipline them, to show them the way that they should go. The rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And again, I don't want you to look at this rod as something that's used to beat the child with, but I want you to begin to look at it as that of a rod in a shepherd's hand. In a shepherd's hand. Okay? And that rod was not used to beat. Now, that rod was used to guard off attackers, but it wasn't used to beat the sheep. Amen. So I want us to begin to think of it from that aspect and not just the aspect of you taking it and beating your kids down. Amen. And so I'm looking at other scriptures. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now, this is the easy read version. The easy read version. So keep in mind, this is not to beat them down. It's a rod. It's a rod to give guidance and things of that nature. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You will strike him with the rod. You will save his soul. And so what is it talking about here? It's not talking about you beating him down, but it's talking about you getting that rod, giving a little tap to get them back on a plain path. I don't want us to begin to look at this as that God is telling us, you know, we need to beat people down. And I think that's why we have such a misconception. I'm trying to think of what did I share that with. I want to say that I shared it on Tuesday night's episode with Nothing But the Truth. And I was saying how we've given a misrepresentation of Abba Father, and I was talking to fathers, you know, and the example that we gave, we've given a misrepresentation of Abba Father. That's why it's so easy for us to feel like, you know, God gave you a heart attack, and God gave you a stroke, and God gave you cancer, because he was, you know, punishing you because you sinned. I think that it's a misrepresentation of who God truly is. Remember that the punishment, come on with me, the punishment of sin, Jesus bore the punishment of sin. That's why he was beaten the way he was. He already took the punishment of sin on our behalf. Therefore, we don't need to be punished. We need to be disciplined. Oh, I done bless myself. I done bless myself. Amen. And so we want to begin to look at that. Do not withhold discipline from a child. We just read that particular scripture. And so, again, it was talking about, you know, as guidance, a tap to get them back on the right path, not a beat down. Not a beat down. Not punishment. Okay? And I think that it's imperative that we understand that. Amen. Amen. I am loving this. So I would love some feedback again from those of you who hear this particular episode. I would love some feedback from you as to what your thoughts are. Am I making any sense to you? Or what is it that you feel like we need to be doing? And how can you begin to change your mindset if you were reared up in a home where punishment was often given? How do you change that? How do you begin to reverse that curse? Whereas, you know, when you see a child, you come to your child and say something and they jumping, that's a problem. And that's often what would happen. My mom would come and raise her hand and you would jump because you were used to being hit. You were used to being hit. You were used to being punished, you know. And again, my home was not a home where we did a whole lot of hugging and a whole lot of I love yous and things of that nature. And it wasn't until my siblings and I, we got older and grown where we started hugging each other. I remember distinctly one of my spiritual daughters in Christ telling me, and she said, you got to touch me not spirit. And I was like, what? And she said, you don't like being touched. And it's because we didn't do a lot of hugging. We didn't do a lot of touching when I was growing up. And it could be stemmed from a whole lot of things with my mom and how she was raised. You know what I'm saying? But, again, so we want to look at seven steps to biblical spankings. Now, when it is warranted for you to discipline or for you to use that rod for guidance and it's not, you know, it's in a manner of which it looks like it's corporal punishment, we want to make sure that we've given warning to our children. I can remember my mom would be whooping us and we would be trying to figure out what happened. What? Who did what? You know what I'm saying? What just happened? What is happening? And so we want to make sure that we talk to our children, that, again, we have effective communication with them, your first interaction with your child about a situation should be verbal. A child should never be blindsided by the discipline that you hand down to him or her. And this is an article that I pulled up from, I pulled it up from Focus on the Family. This is an article that came from Focus on a Family, and it's called Seven Steps to Biblical Spanking. So do I believe in discipline? I do believe in discipline. Do I believe in corporal discipline? Yes, I do believe in corporal discipline, but I believe, again, that you don't want it to turn into abuse. And so the best way not to do that is not to do it at all. But if you find an instance where you have to or you feel like it warrants it, The article in Focus on the Family says, make sure you give clear warning. Don't blindside the child with the discipline that you hand down. It's important for your child to own up to his behavior. So establish responsibility. This is a good one because I really feel like we don't take responsibility for our action. And I think that, you know, we have to begin to get a child to first accept the fact that they've done wrong. That's teaching them how to repent. First of all, acknowledging that you did wrong and then repenting for that wrong. It's important that your child own up to his misbehavior. Many parents may make the mistake of asking, why did you do that? That's not a good question. Why doesn't help him admit his responsibility in the action? You did such and such a thing. You know what I'm saying? And just begin to converse, communicate, and help them to accept responsibility for what they did. Avoid embarrassment. Never embarrass your child in front of their friends, their siblings, or even strangers. My mom's theory was wherever you show out, that's where I'm going to go off. And so if it was in public, it was in front of my friends, it did not matter. Old school way was wherever you do it, that's where you the rubber going to meet the road. And so, but you want to try to not to, you want to avoid embarrassment. You want to communicate your grief. I want my child to know that I'm more than just being angry. I'm disappointed. I'm heartbroken when they disobey. And again, this is something we want to establish with our children. They should be learning in Sunday school that when we don't obey God, how it breaks God's heart, how it moves God to grief. Grieves the spirit. Yeah, that's the word I want. It grieves the spirit when we do things that we're not supposed to do. So you want sincere repentance. When my kids were small, this is Dr. James Dobson. When my kids were small, I let them sit in my lap after a spanking and cry for a while. That was a great time to model for them the love behind the discipline. Then after a few minutes, I'd ask, are you ready to talk about this with Daddy? And with God. I think that's really good. When I received the nod, I could tell repentance and genuine sorrow had occurred, and I revisited the issue, asking them, now what went wrong and what did you do wrong? What did you do wrong? Thereby getting them to accept responsibility for their actions. And then, of course, unconditional love. For my part, some of the most intimate, touching moments I ever had with my kids were right after exercising discipline. So after disciplining your child, let me encourage you to take them in your arms and pray. Thank you, Lord, for my precious boy, for the wonderful way you made him, for the amazing guy he is or the amazing girl, for the gift that you've given unto him or her to help them to remember what's right and give them the strength to do what's right. And thank you for taking responsibility, for their taking responsibility for what they did. We know you're taking a big eraser and wiping it off the board. You've forgiven them and made them absolutely clean, and I forgive them too. And so I think that's a really, really good part, showing unconditional love and then showing them how to go before the Father. Because one of the things our children have to understand is that even though you may not have been there to see it, God sees it. And that in God seeing it, we teach them about confessing their sins, that if we confess our sins, God is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Bible also tells us that not only will he forgive our sins, but he'll cast it in the sea of forgetfulness, and it'll never rise against us again. And so teaching them the unconditional love of you as a parent and the unconditional love of Abba Father in heaven. And so this is when you feel that corporal punishment or the discipline has to be done or is the way that you need to go. But you want to do it so that it's an effective parenting tool and that it is not damaging their self-worth. You don't want it to damage their self-worth. You want them to know that whom God loves, he chastens, but he doesn't, you know, beat us down about it. Amen. And so these are the things that we want to exemplify with our children. We want to exemplify with our children. And so, again, five characteristics of discipline. Again, this is an article from Focus on the Family, and it's the necessity of discipline is to deter destruction. The second thing was that the means of discipline, actions and words. In Proverbs 3:11, the passage is quoted in Hebrew. Two different Hebrew words are used, discipline and rebuke, which refers to God's word. And so it tells us to, that we should not make light of God's actions and not to lose heart about rebuke. Whom the Bible was talking about that he openly rebukes us. You know, he openly rebukes us in order to save our soul. And so the motive of discipline, it should be to express your love. You should be expressing love to God. Again, we talked about the scripture that with loving kindness, the Father drew you. And so you want to make sure that you're doing it out of loving kindness. The goal of discipline should be to teach obedience. The goal of discipline should be to teach obedience, not to beat them to a point where they can't sit down, not to beat them to a point where they're bleeding and things of that nature. That's not what we want to do. You don't have to go in with that mentality, I got to give it to them. Oh, they're going to learn. You know what I'm saying? But it should be to teach them how to obey. Okay? So you don't want to beat them down. These are just some of the articles. Focus on the Family, which I think is a very, very good show. I listened to it with Dr. James Dobson. I think he's a reputable counselor, life coach, if you will. And so we want to make sure that we're doing, that we are disciplining our children and that we are not abusing or that we are not punishing our children. And so we want to pray for this mother went through. We want to just lift her up, the Baton Rouge mom. We want to lift her up. We want to lift up her children. And we want to lift up those of you who, like me, may have been raised in a home where you were punished and you weren't disciplined. Those of you who you're still doing it that way, you're beating them down, you're verbally abusing them, you know, and you're not just attacking them, but you're attacking their character, you're attacking their identity in Christ. And so this is not the way to do it. It's not the most excellent way to rear our children. So we want to change our mindset. We want to change our mindset, and we want to understand that God does have a better way of how we can minister to our children, and that's the way that we want to pick up and we want to begin to look at. Amen. Amen. So tonight, as we begin to end this, we're going to end it in prayer. Hallelujah, God. Ooh, yeah, God. We bless you, oh Father. We bless you, we love you, we honor you the more and the more, Father, for who you are, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh Lord God. We thank you, God, that your word says that with loving kindness you've drawn us, oh Lord God. So we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your kindness, oh Lord God. You know, we thank you, oh God, that your word says whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, oh God, and that there are opportunities and times, oh God, when you have to do things within us, oh Lord God, that may look like it's being harsh, oh Lord God, but we understand that in actuality is bringing out and pulling out the best in us, oh Lord God. So we just thank you, oh Lord God. We thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, oh Lord God. So we just pray now, God. We pray for parents, oh Lord God. We pray for that single mom, even this young lady in Baton Rouge, Father. We lift her up, oh Lord God. Sister Spears, oh God, we lift her up. We lift up her children before you, oh Lord God, and we understand that she's learned a behavior, oh Lord God, that has proven to be non-effective, oh Lord God. So we pray now, God, that you will begin to show her the more excellent way. Father, we pray now that counselors will reach out to her to let her know that there is a better way of rearing your children. There's a better way of disciplining your children and not punishing them, oh, Lord God. So we pray that somebody will step up, oh, Lord God, step up to the plate, God, that we will begin to reverse, oh, Lord God, the way that we were brought up, a negative learned behavior, oh, God, that we'll begin to break that thing in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. We desire, God, that you get glory, that you get honor from our life, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. So we pray now, God, for generations, oh, Lord God. We pray now, God, for our children and our youth, oh, Lord God, that they'll be raised by godly men and women, oh, Lord God, that parents will learn how to pray and intercede, oh, God, on the behalf of their children, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you pour out your spirit upon these young people, upon parents, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and ignite a fire and a passion for you in their lives, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we pray even now, God, that this mother, Miss Spears, oh, God, Sister Spears, we pray her salvation. We pray that her children are saved and that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, oh, Lord God. We pray this now, God, in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord God. So we pray now, God, that you will remove every unclean spirit, oh, Lord God. We pray that you will remove the hurt from Sister Spears, oh, Lord God, the hurt, oh, Lord God, of feeling like she's been embarrassed before our nation, oh, Lord God. So we come against the negative effects of that, oh, Lord God, and we pray now, God, that you would give her confidence, oh, Lord God, and let that confidence be in you and you alone, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. We pray it now in Jesus' name. We pray for the children, oh, Lord God, and whatever retaliation may have come, God, from this thing being so open, oh, Lord God, whatever people, children may be saying, oh, God, that's negative to them, God, we pray that you would guard their ears, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. Guard their ears, oh, Lord God. Guard their emotions, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Don't have let this have a negative long-term effect on the children, on the mother, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord God. But let this be a tool, oh, Lord God, to get her to go to the more excellent way, oh, Lord God. Let this be a catalyst, oh, God, to move us to that next level in you, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against, oh, Lord God, even what would happen from the children who receive these scars and these wounds and this punishment, oh, God. We pray now, God, for their mentality, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Teach them how to love, how to respect, oh, Lord God. We bind up the generational curse, oh, Lord God, of incarceration on this family, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We stand in agreement with this mother, Sister Spears, that our children will not grow up to be incarcerated, oh, Lord God. They will not be dropouts, oh, Lord God, but that they will be those, oh, God, who will bring admonition to you first, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray now that children will honor their parents, oh, Lord God, according to your word, oh, Father God. We lift it up before you, God, that they will learn how to honor their mother, oh, God, to honor their father, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we do love you, and we do honor you in Jesus' name, oh, Lord God. We pray now, oh, Lord God, we bind every spirit of retaliation, backlash, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, God, that from this situation, oh, Lord God, she'll get what she needs. She'll get the help that she needs, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak turnaround in her life, turnaround in the life of the children, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only her children, oh, God, but to those who are listening, Father. Those who are listening, oh, God, and we've learned the behavior from our ancestors, oh, Lord God, that was not conducive. We've learned the behavior, God, that has not proven to be the best way, oh, Lord God. So we ask now, Holy Spirit, to unlearn that thing, deprogram us, God, and to begin to press on our heart the way of Abba Father, oh, Lord God. Begin to download that we need, God. Those who are not used to embracing and hugging their children, oh, Lord God, and telling them that they love them, oh, Lord God. Let them begin to be a family that embraces, that kisses, oh, Lord God, that knows how to show love, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Teach us how to communicate with our children and to teach our children how to communicate to us with respect, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Let us discipline in love and not punish in anger and bitterness, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Let us do it, Father, as parents who have come to glorify you and you alone, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So we pray this prayer. We pray this prayer for parents who are listening. I now pray, God, that this episode will reach those who it needs to reach, God. I pray now, God, that it will help them to change their life, oh Lord God. I pray now, God, that it'll bring them to a new direction and to a new place in you, God, that you will be glorified in everything we do and in everything we say, oh God, that you will get the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Amen, amen, and amen again. Amen again. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to hit us up on Facebook and let us know what you thought about this episode. You are more than welcome to email us. You can email us at healing@hope. That's our email address, HopeAllianceInc.com. Amen. You can email us, or you can go even to our website. We have a website, and that website is HopeAllianceInc.com. HopeAllianceInc.com. You know, go to our webpage. Email us. Let us know what you think. Let us know about future episodes, topics that you would like for us to discuss. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight, and we do look forward to you joining us again on next week on Breaking the Silence with your host, Pastor Katie Pierce and Hope Alliance, Inc. Until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone. Amen.